attending Sunday services at TFT. And this is the thing. They're not bragging on TFT per se. It's what God does in TFT. And simply what he does here, he wants to do everywhere. We're not, you know, like so special and things like that. And sometimes God can do so much that, you know, some of y'all might have a tendency to get acclimated to it, and it's just, you know, you become numb to it, so it doesn't have the impact that it would normally have. But for the person that gets touched by God, it means the world of difference to them. And so this should happen in every place because this is what God wants to do in the lives of his sons and daughters. Amen. We come to him broken. We come to him hurting. We can come to him rejoicing. I was not so much in a bad shape, and it's not about me, but just as a test. I was not in such a bad shape, but I was doing bad things. You know, you can be doing bad things and still pay your rent, bad things and still pay your car note, bad things and still keep a full tank of gas, bad things and go to work every day, bad things and, you know, and still do some responsible things, but you're still doing those bad things. So, when I came, it made a world of difference to me because I saw the goodness of God. And all I know is that I just felt like I was home. You know, when I got up from the seat and went to the front altar, I felt like I was home and tears started coming down and stuff like that. So I'm not going to go into my, but he's sharing based on that. God wants to do that for every one of his sons and daughters. It's no, like, special favors. Oh, he did it for that person because they're, you know, they're special and stuff. It's like, no, this is what God does with sinners. He cleans us up. Hallelujah. He roots out all of the junk, all of the garbage. He breaks the very power of sin if we allow him. And the way we allow him is by continuing to follow after him. Sin will separate you from God. So as long as you're sinning, you'll always be at a distance with God. But when you repent, which is to turn away from your sin and then start going towards God, all of a sudden God begins to clean out the stuff. And you're no longer bound by what you were bound. It's like, you're not my master no more. Sin is not my master. Jesus is my master. And so I keep walking towards him. And the more I walk towards him, and we can all say the same thing, the more we walk towards Jesus, the more the stronger we become because, you know, he strengthens us. He not only cleanses us, but he strengthens us. You don't have to backslide. People choose to backslide. But you can keep going with Jesus. Hallelujah. And you'll notice the difference. It's not like mere religion. I've been saved for 30 years, and I'm still the same old bitter, ugly person I was when I got saved. No. If you've been saved 30 years, there ought to be 30 years of fruit and manifestation of what God is doing in you. Hallelujah. I hope that makes sense. Yeah. It's called growing in Christ. I think I'm teaching right now as well. But it's called growing in Christ. And if we're growing in him, we should never stop growing in Jesus. You can easily get sidetracked, but you don't have to get sidetracked. You can get so busy with all of the things of the world and all of these other things going on and all of these responsibilities that you have to have. And they just get in and they just choke the very life of God's word in you. And because the life of God's word in you is being choked, you no longer have a desire to pursue God. But you put all of that stuff to the side and let God reprioritize everything. Jesus said it best. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. It's very simple. It's simple to read and it's simple to comprehend, but it's the power of understanding working so that you can walk it out And that is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That priority will never change. Seek ye first. Everything else is secondary. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You keep that as a priority, it will keep everything else in priority, everything else in check. And you'll always have a hunger and a passion for God. Irregardless, you could be going through hell, but you still have a hunger and a passion for God. You still got a praise on your lip. You still got a worship. You still got a prayer. You still standing. Hallelujah. Others can look at you and look and mock and say all manner of evil concerning you, but you're still standing strong because your foundation is not in them nor their opinion. Your foundation is in Christ Jesus. You are rooted and grounded and established in the faith, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Preach myself happy. Hell can't prevail against you. That's the church. Gloria a Dios. Praise God. You know, Jesus said that. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise God. The teaching is how to stay in that vein and understand what the will of the Lord is concerning you. Hallelujah. So, okay, back to the testimony. God has moved, transformed, delivered since we began attending services at TFT. I don't believe TFT was the first church that they went to, and we're not playing competition with other churches. But the difference here, which it seems, you know, people will say, it's just too hard here. It's just too hard. It's just like the people in the day of Jesus when Jesus was saying, the servant who got the one talent. He got one talent because that was according to his ability. That's all he could handle. And what did he do with that one talent? He went and buried it. And he said, because I knew you were a hard taskmaster, reaping where you have not sown, you know, taking where you have not invested, if you will. You're just mean. And see, that's perception of many. They will think, but it's like, no, this is our daily responsible, reasonable worship unto God. This is nothing like, you know, oh, that's just too much. That's just too hard. That's just simplicity of God's word. You come in broken, you're supposed to go out healed. I hope that makes sense to you. People came to Jesus because they knew he could heal them. One woman was so convinced, she said, if I could just touch, she said it first to herself. She spoke faith to herself. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. I have spent all of my money on all of these doctors, all of these years, and I am no better but the worst. But now I see Jesus. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And what did she do but get out there and crawl through the crowds, press through the throng, get to Jesus' garment, touched the border, and was healed and made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples are looking like, Master, you see the crowds. How are we going to know who touched you? No, somebody touched me because virtue went out of me. She came to him because she knew he could heal. Sinners ought to come to Jesus because they know they can get saved. Yeah. Saved from what? Saved from the sin that keeps us bound. The woman who had been bent over for 18 years. 18 years. And guess where she was? You know where she was when she got healed? I'm not talking about the city. I'm talking about the place. She was in the temple. So the reason I say that is because Jesus points out She's been bent over for 18 years. She's been coming to the temple for 18 years. And nobody has healed her. I don't know if she ever went to the pool of Siloam and tried to get into the water first when the angel came and stirred up the water. I don't know if she ever did that, but she had been bent over for all these years, and Jesus looses her from her infirmity. They came to Jesus because they knew that they could get healed. So people ought to be coming because they know they can get healed. They know they can get delivered. They know they're out there bound, whether it be bound by sexual addiction, whether it be bound by drugs or alcohol, if you will, that whether they're bound by demonic spirits. They ought to. I should be able to go to a church. I should be able to find a disciple of Jesus so I can get healed. I can get delivered. I can get made whole. So people ought to be able to come in here and any other church that names the name of Christ Jesus, they ought to be able to come in and be made whole. Your faith ought to be at that level, even higher, exceeding it, that I could come and I could be made whole. I could come and I could be healed. That's why they got healed. Jesus would look, your faith has made you whole. Jesus told a woman it's not good to give the children's bread to dogs. That woman's like, I want my daughter free. You can call me a dog if you want to. I want my daughter free. Even the dogs get the crumbs underneath the table. The disciples are like, Lord, you want us to send her off? No, this woman's got faith. Oh, woman, go your way. Your daughter's cured, healed, made whole. Yeah, we ought to expect this. Hallelujah. And we ought not get disappointed if it doesn't manifest right away. I'm not making an excuse for anything. I'm just saying this. Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus sets the captive free. He hasn't stopped. As I'm reading Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, men ought to always pray and faint not. And then he gives them the parable of the unjust judge. And then after this, he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? And faith is like the missing element in a lot of our problems. We say we believe, but do we truly believe? And if we find within ourselves that, you know, I don't believe. Be like that. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It was like saying, cure me of the doubt. Get all of that stuff out. I'm ready to shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. Get it all out. Get everything out of the way. I want your faith. Your faith moves mountains. Your faith speaks to the wind and it obeys. Your faith speaks to the waves, the sea, and they obey. Your faith speaks to trees, a fig tree, and it dries up. So, since he's been coming, moved, God has moved, God has transformed, God has delivered. Now, you got to understand, there are people who get set free by the power of God, and then, as Peter says, like the dog that returns to his vomit, and the sow that returns to her mire. That's how it is when we return back to the junk that Jesus delivers us from. Never go back. There's nothing back there. Nothing but trouble. And you'll have worse demons that will come after you because you broke away from them. It's like an abusive relationship. You know, you're in an abusive relationship, and you know you're being abused, but you just can't break away from it. You know, I'll just use this analogy. You know he's no good. You know he's going to beat you. You know he'll get drunk and just come home and beat you. And you but he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. But he's going to kill you if you don't get away from him. And so then finally you break away and you go away for a while and then you get lonely. I'm using the analogy of a man and a woman, but it can be a man and some weak habit he has, or a woman and some weak habit she has, and you break away from that habit. Say, for instance, it's alcohol. You break away from alcohol for so long, and then all of a sudden the taste and the desire, or you hit a crisis, and because you don't, you can't stand in faith and trust God, you revert back to the stuff that made you feel comfortable, even though it kept you in bondage and in darkness. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's not the life. No, we don't go back to the junk. We continue to trust God. There's something there. There's at least a way of escape so that you can bear it if you'll trust God. But if you don't trust God, you'll go right back to the mess. And so she'll be like lonely and just, oh, I really need a man. I'm really lonely. I need some comfort. I need some comfort. And so then you go back. And then because you left, he's going to make sure you don't leave again. So this time he's going to beat the mess out of you. Same way with drugs. Same way with demons. You get demons cast out of you. Jesus teaches us. He says the devils go through dry, they go through dry places. They're looking for another house that they can lodge in because they have to. They're mandated to carry out their work. They're ordered by Satan himself to carry out the work, whatever assignment he has them on. Satan has a kingdom, and he's very strategic in his things. He uses strategies, if you will, in order to trap, in order to bring into bondage, in order to destroy, wreak havoc on a person's life. So you get set free, and you're free for a while, and you're enjoying it, and then all of a sudden you get tempted, and you go right back to that thing again. And because you broke away, you're going to make sure you don't break away again. So never go back. You're free. Hallelujah. You're free. Praise God. You're free. Enjoy your freedom. Learn how to enjoy your freedom in Christ Jesus. Learn how to do what God has prescribed for you so you can enjoy that. Because, you know, just illustration for illustrative purposes only. Over here, lonely or whatever. Over here, going through withdrawals. Over here, you know, just because you haven't busied yourself with doing the things of God, so you're just over here, and so your mind starts drifting back and going through old thoughts and old memories and stuff like that, Satan will send one of your old friends, and they'll come by, and you don't need no money, just come on, man, come on, we'll go ahead and do it, we'll do it up on me and stuff like that, and, you know, it's like, no, get away from me, devil, I see you, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, it's like that, huh? You judging me. Praise God. Get out of here, devil. But anyways, it tries to lure you back in order to destroy you. And you never get a chance to enjoy the life that God has for you. I hope that makes sense. Anyways, moved. God moved. He is transformed, delivered, since he began attending services. And that's the thing. Get to that place to where you're free. You won't think God is a hard taskmaster. You won't think threshing floor is just too hard, or they're just too this, or that's just, or they just, all they do is talk about money. Do you get mad when Jesus teaches about money? Because Jesus teaches about money quite a bit. Praise God. Otherwise, we couldn't teach it. If it wasn't in the Word, we couldn't teach it. We couldn't preach it. But see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you have need, you need to have the Word so that you can hold fast to and have faith so you can get to that need, get that need met. Amen. You understand? Praise God. Yeah. God wants you to prosper. I didn't say that. John wrote it. Beloved, I wish above all else that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. Beloved, I wish you physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, I wish that you were blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, you know, it's, yeah, not defending ourselves, but it's like, no, this is how the church, you need to be taught on all levels. You don't just need to be taught how to come to church and how to, you know, work in the children's church or to be an usher or be a greeter, be a Sunday school teacher, be this, be that. Be holy. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness and enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And enjoy the favor of Almighty God. Watch God set before you an open door that nobody can shut. Watch God promote you when all others are being laid off. Watch God give you the raise that nobody else gets. Watch favor work on your behalf. And you just walk around and the people say, oh, your God is good to you. And you just, yes, he is. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you see it. Hallelujah. Because when you see the goodness, you see the glory. Amen. Yeah. So praise God. Amen. Okay, last Sunday it was revealed to you my need for wisdom, direction, this was this past Sunday, direction and increase in trust for the Lord and to not be moved by what I see or hear. Glory to Jesus. That's his response. Even as he got the word there. Yeah, I need that. Yeah. Listen to this. Our landlord has offered to us Our landlord offered to sell us the house a couple of weekends ago. And he's a believer in Christ Jesus as well. We have been very happy renting the house from him for 2 years. In January 2019, it'll be 2 years. He has offered to give us time to do it and get things in order to buy. He also said our rent amount could be the mortgage amount. Yeah. Elena's been working 2 to 3 months. I'm working at the job the Lord blessed us with since last December 5th. The Lord opened the door for me after I was released from my last job pretty unfairly. That's why, praise God. If they do you wrong on your job, just praise God. Just say praise God, because they don't know who they're messing with. You know? To them, it's just flesh. But to God, you're his child, you're his son, or you're his daughter. You never have to worry about dad taking vengeance. They mess with you. As God said about Israel, I believe we can claim that too. They mess with the apple of his eye. And so you don't have to fight or anything. Because if you fight, then you take the place of God fighting for you. But if you let God take care of things, oh, praise God, he's good at it. He's good at it. Let them walk up to you. Now, I'm not prophesying for anybody, so nobody think to. Don't be anticipating this tomorrow morning when you go to work. But let them come up to you or call you in the office and tell you this is your last day and give you your pink slip and you have to go. And then all of a sudden everything just changes because now you're about to get you're about to be impacted and affected financially because they pay you a salary. That's why you go to that place. And see, if your trust is in that job and in that check that they give you, you'll be disheartened. I don't know what I'm going to do. Praise God, it even seems funny doing that. What you're going to do is you're going to trust God. And you're going to say, okay, thank you for the opportunity. Because everything you learned there goes with you, okay? And so hopefully you've learned some things there. And if you didn't learn anything there, Anyways, you should have learned some. But you just take your final and you just move on. And what do? Well, this may be the end of this chapter, but this is not the end of your life. Amen? God's got another door for you. He's got something else set up for you. You don't see it because you've been caught by surprise. But God wasn't surprised. He knew when you woke up that morning, showered, got yourself ready and prepared, and went on to work, he knew what was going to happen. So he's not shocked at all. And so you just go, Father, you see what has happened. And if it's wrong, I know you'll take vengeance. I won't worry about that. But I'm just going to trust you. And I'm going to do what you lead me to do. And so I put it all in your hands. I lift it up to you. And then you walk by faith. Because you walked in that place by faith, you walk out of that place by faith. You don't leave your faith in that place or that check that they gave you. Your faith is in God. And he's with you wherever you go. Whew, praise God. So, he was fired on a job. The Lord opened the door for me after I was released from my last job pretty unfairly. Now, this is one of the reasons why, because you're following Jesus. You're not following people. You're not following the job that you had. You're following Jesus. Okay. At the new job, I've already made $20,000 more than I ever made at the last job or in my whole life. Glory to Jesus. Somebody say glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Somebody look at you. Aren't you upset? Upset? I'm excited about what God's about to do. Praise God. I had to learn that the hard way, but I learned it. And you heard my testimony before. I got laid off at this job. I walked out of the meeting. They called me down into the meeting. And then they tell me, and as soon as they tell me, we're going to have to let you go, I get up out of my seat. Now, mind you, there's about four of the chief, I'll call them chief officers, if you will, the accountant, and then the president of the corporation and all. And so I get out, and there was a couple of others, plant manager and all. I got up, and I just started walking, and they're still talking. I'm mad. And I go up to my desk, and I get my stuff. And then I look and I see the guy who was my supervisor. I see him over there talking to this other person, telling them that he just got notified that he's going to be, and so, that he is. And so I just got my stuff and I just walked on out of there with a bad attitude. God told me I had a bad attitude. Will the Lord tell you that? Yeah, he'll tell you that. You know it, but sometimes he'll just go ahead and tell you, you had a bad attitude. That was wrong. I learned my lesson. So when it happened again, instead of me getting a bad attitude and getting up and walking out of the office of the vice president of finance, I reached my hand over the desk and I thanked him for everything that I learned at that job. And I thanked him for the privilege and opportunity of working there because I knew God had gave me that job. How did you know? I asked him. I said, Lord, they don't have a job for me, but create one. Because I just got a word from one of your servants saying, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And what it means in the Greek, if you ask anything in my name, if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. Faith went up and grabbed it, made it mine. And I said, God, create a job. So when I go for another, and I wanted two job offers, and so I go at an interview with this other one. They offer me a job. I come back and I tell the employer. He says, wait right here. He goes in the president's office. He comes back, and he tells me, we don't have a job for you, but we're going to create one. You know, that's the God we serve. We're going to create one for you. And so I was there for about 2.5 years. And so when they let me go, I knew it was serious because it was a housing market and it was a downtrend. And, you know, VP of marketing and other VPs, they got let go too. So I went out with some heavyweights. And, you know, God just provided. He just opened up another door. As a matter of fact, I told him, I said, Lord, the next job that I get, I don't want to have to commute. I don't want to have to be going way over to Concord. Like, Concord's real far. But, you know, I don't want to have to do that. And so the Lord gave me a job in Pittsburgh. How do you know the Lord gave you that? Because when I went in for the interview, I prayed in tongues for about 20 minutes sitting there waiting for my interview. I prayed before I got there. But then when I got in the building and was waiting for the interview, I was praying in tongues. I thought I was going before one person. I go in there and I'm sitting before five people. So I'm kind of nervous. It's a panel over there. But I prayed up. And so anyways, they start off and they have me introduce myself. Then they ask me a question. And then I end up answering all five of their questions with my one answer. And so the interview ended like about 15 minutes and stuff. And I found out like a couple of months later, one of the guys who was on the panel, he says, you know why your interview went so fast? No, let me know. I knew it was good. I felt good about it. He says, the reason it went so fast is because you answered all of our questions in your first answer, and we didn't have anything else to ask you. But that was God. That was not me. So we trust him. We trust him every step of the way. Okay, so anyways, the Lord has blessed him. He's made $20,000 more than his last job or in his whole life. He says, I had no experience at all. It's working on industrial air compressors. Favor. 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 Yeah. And so we rejoice with him and what the Lord has done in the short time that they've been attending. And you just see they're not here regularly. But we believe God they will start being more regular. But even if that didn't pan out, they know what happened and a result as of them coming in under what every child of God should come into when they go into the house of God. The anointing ought to be in every place that names the name of Jesus. Healing ought to be in every place. Deliverance ought to be in every place. Definitely salvation ought to be in every. That church should be alive, whether it's two or 10,000, that church should be alive for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Everybody ought to be excited for Jesus. Praise God. So, with that being said, that's one praise report and testimony. Here's another one. And then we got a prayer request. Last Wednesday, Brother Tim, Last Wednesday, Brother Tim was in an automobile accident coming home. And this person, like, cut in front of him and then hit another car, and then Brother Tim hit him. And so he was in some pain. We prayed when he called me on the phone. He was still on the freeway. Prayed then, and, you know, it was better. And then QLM, Monday night, he came, and he was sciatic nerve was injured and back pain and tingling in the feet and down the legs. And so we prayed then, and then the tingling in the feet stopped, so he was better then. Tonight, praise report, no back pain, no leg pain, 100% healed to the glory of God the Father. Can we give God praise? Yeah! Yeah! Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah! Yeah. Believe God for your healing. Praise God. Don't stop believing. You believe till it manifests. Praise God. And you praise him and you thank him. Glory be to God. So, well, this is taking up the whole night. Prayer request. Okay. Sister Sandy needs healing in her eye. And she's trying to sell her home. Anybody need to buy a home? Praise God. Hallelujah. Crowning achievements and surpassing victories. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Has everyone given? Who so desires? Because we're gonna lift up Sister Sandy and we're gonna pray that God will send her the buyer to buy that home. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Men ought to always pray and faint not. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Hallelujah. Pastor Rod once said on that passage, if we're praying, we shouldn't be fainting. And if we're fainting, it's because we're not praying. Start to throw that in there. Seasoning. Stretch forth your hands in faith. Lord, we've spoken tonight about healing. We've spoken tonight about deliverance. We've spoken tonight about unclean spirits, how they'll leave a person, and then they'll try and return to that vessel, that body, and wreak havoc and make that person seven times worse. That's in your word. Spoken about relationships and similarities of being in an abusive relationship. Father, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that that word doesn't return to you void but accomplishes what you please in this house tonight. We pray, Master, for total and complete freedom, liberty from all bondage, demonic, physical, mental, emotional. Oh, Lord, deliver us from soulish ties that are destructive to us. Deliver us from all manner of evil. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever and ever, Almighty God. Cause your people to walk in power and great authority. Cause your people to live and declare your glory. Cause your sons and daughters to return to their borders, to return to their first love, and to never, ever separate themselves. Cause your people to run to you, Lord God. Cause them to run to you, Master, to run from the bondage, to run from the darkness, to run from the wickedness, to run unto you, Father, for safety and for refuge and for comfort and for growth and maturity in the faith, that we live and declare your glory, that we experience the blessing and power of God. Cause your children not to fear or worry or doubt you or question you, but to believe and only to believe and to receive, Lord God, based on the truth of your authoritative word. Oh, God, bless your sons and daughters. Anybody that needs a job, Father, create one for them. Create one. If they can't find it, they can't. Lord God, create one. Create promotions, Father God. Cause doors to just open up before your sons and daughters. Let them experience your goodness here in the land of the living. Father, let them see the glory of God, the goodness of God, the power of Almighty God. Do what they cannot do, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing in the Alizaga's lives. Thank you for that testimony that was shared tonight. We thank you for the teaching that came out of it tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, that it just strengthens the saints of God. That they just receive an injection of strength, an injection of power, an injection of authority, an injection of faith in Jesus' mighty name. Faith that conquers, faith that prevails, faith that overcomes, faith that endures. Oh, mighty, 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 mighty God. Bless your sons and daughters in this household, Lord. Let them see and experience your goodness firsthand, so much so that their neighbors, their friends, their loved ones, their family members, Lord God, even the stranger will look at them and see the goodness and the glory of God upon each and every one of your sons and daughters, Lord God. Lift every weight. Take every burden. Cause the yoke of the oppressor to be bursting asunder in the mighty name of Jesus through the fatness of your anointing power. Yeah, Lord. Yeah. That none are weary in their well-doing. None are weary in their well-doing. None are weary in their well-doing in the faith. But like Abraham, strengthened in faith as they give glory and honor and praise to your name, not wavering at the promises of God, but strengthened in faith. Hallelujah. Knowing that you who have promised are also well able to perform, and you will do it. So, Master, we stand in agreement with Sister Sandy, Brother Charles' mother. We cover in the blood of Jesus. We pray, Master, let there be healing in her eye for good. Let there be healing in her eye for good. That this stigma, whatever it is, this thing does not reappear, but it's gone for good. Oh, let her faith reach out and grab what's been spoken over her life right now in Jesus' name. That she will not be troubled by this thing any longer. Make her eye whole, completely whole. And Lord, bring forth the buyer. Come on, saints, call forth the buyer. We call the buyer forth. We call that buyer forth. We call you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call forth multiple offers. We call forth no delay. We call forth no denial. We call forth that buyer that they are well qualified, and they'll give her what she's asking. They'll give her the asking price. Even let it be a bidding war, Lord God. It hasn't happened in a while, but let it be a bidding war. And Jesus, show favor. Show favor. We call that buyer forth. We call that buyer forth. We call that buyer forth in Jesus' mighty name. Bless the offerings, Master. Bless your sons and daughters. We rejoice with Brother Tim for the healing, complete healing in the back, in the leg. 100% healed and made whole. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Continue. Let it increase, overflow, abound in Jesus' name. So now, Father, jobs, raises, promotions, incentives, bonuses, let them come into the hands of your servants. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, send forth unexpected income, money that we don't even know about. Just let it come into our hands. I feel it. I'm going to say it. You can say it if you want to. If you don't, if it's too, if you get a check in your spirit, just don't say it. But just, yes. On the count of three, money cometh to me now. One, two, three. Money cometh to me now in Jesus' name. And we'll glorify you with it, Father. We'll glorify you with it. We'll glorify you with it. We'll glorify you with it. Yeah, so Lord, let all the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you, Lord God. Yeah. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Yeah. 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 Woo. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Yeah. Favor, uncommon favor. Every earthly blessing, let it come to you. Let it come to you all now in Jesus' name. Whether you want it or not, let it come to you. If you don't want it when it comes, just go ahead and put it into the kingdom then. Praise God in Jesus' mighty name. Let it come. Let it come in abundance, Lord God. Let it come in abundance in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do the right thing with it, Father. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord God bless each and every one of you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you. Give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God. Bless the offering. Bless your people. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, be blessed. We love you.